Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Speaking of Steelers tight ends, how about you check out the latest episode of Breaking Bread brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread. Donnie sat down with Pat Freiermuth, and it's available on our 93.7 The Fan YouTube page. And Pat Freiermuth, total good guy, taking over for George Pickens at the George Pickens football camp that George Pickens didn't want to go to anymore. I don't feel like we're going to miss George Pickens around town. He might catch a few long touchdowns, and we all might kind of say, man, that sucks. How could the Steelers not have figured out a way to channel that? But I don't think we're going to be doing too much lamenting of George Pickens' absence. Don, you know our guy Pony is to blame again today for Paul Skeens? I mean, that's my angle here. Pony screwed this up. We just got done. He's on vacation. We just got done praising him yesterday because he seemed to have like his head on straight regarding, hey, I'm on vacation. I should enjoy vacation. I shouldn't be psycho about the fact that I'm missing the Aaron Rodgers on McAfee presser, because that's just how Pony is wired. This like ultra insane sports, sports, sports. I love this job. Pony loves this job. He's as hardcore as anyone I've ever met at following whatever the topic is of the day. Well, guess what he did? Vacation Pony at 2:22 p.m. tweets, I'm locked in. I couldn't miss this one. Vacation Pony. In his hotel suite, it looks like. Got the TV on. Presumably managed to use his, like, I assume he has MLB Extra Innings and just cast it to his TV.
It could have also
MLB
been.
MLB Network?
Yeah,
okay.
I was going to say.
I didn't know if they were running this game because of the big matchup there. He jinxed it. He screwed it up.
I was hoping for a little bit more in his tweet, too.
What?
I'm locked
periods?
In.
Period.
Couldn't miss this one.
I couldn't miss, period, this one. Period.
Vacation Pony, Paul Skeens, Wednesday afternoon.
Jacob Mizorowski, battle, period, of the, period, flamethrowers, period.
In Milwaukee.
The student, period, and the master, period. Yeah, that was comparatively, it was a subdued Pony tweet. Anyway, he's the cause of this. I'll just go back to this. It's the worst Skeens start I think we've seen. I believe it is the shortest outing he's had, Don. I got to double check that for Paul Skeens, but I think 4 innings is the shortest outing. I want to say, too, I was checking the YouTube comments, the usual suspects on YouTube. Hello to everybody on there today. People telling me not to pick at my fingernails. The mutant thumbnail was distracting me during one of the segments. They were saying that Greg Brown might have alluded to something along the lines of Paul Skeens might have a shorter than usual outing today. Like, this might, like, before the game, he was even suggesting that maybe it was going to be a shorter outing than normal. Now, Skeens, I was just looking back. His last several times out, it's been pretty consistent between 95 and 105 pitches. He hasn't had a game where he's gone a short distance in terms of pitches in a while. That still isn't what I would expect would necessarily like determine how they'd handle him. As I look through, no starts shorter than 5 innings this year. 5 1/3.
I think his debut.
Maybe.
And I think he also, it's almost like a classified as 4+.
So his
like,
debut was 4+.
In the fifth.
That's 2 innings against the Yankees, but that was by design. So if we take that Yankees game out where he just went in there, struck out 3 2 innings, faced the minimum, then I would say this is, in my opinion, his shortest outing. I know that very first outing, it was 3 earned in 4 innings, but this was one where he objectively did not have his best. But then I've got to like point out, Donnie, they did not help him. O'Neill Cruz probably can get to a fly ball that wouldn't drop in for a hit otherwise. I think it probably would have still scored a run, or maybe would have scored a run because a guy would have had to hold. But I think Cruz would have had a hard time. We know he's got a hard enough time apparently getting rid of the ball quickly from center field on clean catches. He did it today, but I think it was to bait a guy. And then threw a strike home, and the guy didn't even try to run on him. But he didn't catch one. Nick Gonzalez airmailed a throw home to Henry Davis. This is what is so frustrating. The other team is putting their big name pitcher on the mound, their young guy. They are a good baseball team objectively around him, a team full of solid major league hitters. They get to Skeens. All right, bleep happens. It's going to happen once in a while. The Pirates have provided what I would call token resistance at best to Mizorowski. He went five. He struck out eight. He gave up two hits. That's it. He was lights out. They could barely touch anything he was throwing. He walked two. He gave up two hits. It's such a bad lineup. I made this joke on Twitter, and I'll say it on the air. Mizorowski's stats should count for his minor league career today, given the lineup he was facing. Seriously, there is probably a lineup somewhere in the minor leagues that at least has comparable levels of talent to what the Pirates are putting out there. You like kind of like roll your eyes, Donnie, because that's kind of a jerk move to say that. Brian Reynolds, fine. Horwitz, okay. Gonzalez, I'm not going to lump him in. Cruz, even though he is having a miserable time of it, you still would be, he'd be the most terrifying hitter in any minor league lineup. Tommy Pham somehow has two hits, but he has played at a minor league level for almost the entirety of the year. There are dozens of better hitters in the minors than Jared Triolo. Dozens. Probably more than dozens, if I'm being honest. That probably also applies to Henry Davis. It's just what went on in Milwaukee for the first several innings, watching Skeens get knocked around while the Pirates did absolutely nothing and helped the process of him getting knocked around by just not being very good, just serves, it strikes me, and it kind of serves as a total window into the gulf and the gap between these two franchises. The season series coming into this game was tied at three, and they're going to play a bunch more times. But there's a reason why the Brewers, I'm not going to say year after year, because there are years where the Brewers struggle, but there's a reason why, by and large, the Milwaukee Brewers over the last, I don't know, what do you want to go with here? Almost two decades now it's been, have been one thing as a team, and the Pirates have been the other. Go back and look at the Brewers the last several seasons. You ready for this, Don? This is going to bother you, I feel like. It bothers me. 93, 92, 86. I'm just doing win totals. 95, they went 29-31, but still made it to the playoffs technically in the COVID year. 89, 96, 86. If you throw out the COVID year, which I will, they haven't had a losing season since 2016. They went through a period there after they lost in 2011 in the NLCS where they went 83-79, they went 74-88, they went 82-80, they went 68-94, they went 73-89. Even in that realm of like down baseball, and remember the 2014 Pirates in very memorable fashion ran them down. One of the more memorable home runs ever hit was Russell Martin KOing them at PNC Park. That's an all-time memory for me in the regular season, just seeing them vanquish the Brewers in that setting. That is a stretch of 5 years where you would call it rebuilding by them to some extent. They still had two winning seasons. They only had a 90-plus loss season once. Once. They have lost 90 games once in the last 20 years in a season. And they are dealing with some of the exact same constraints that the Pirates are. And yet there are, if I count them up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the last 20 years, 6 90-win seasons. And they might win 90 this year. It would take them getting pretty red hot. I wouldn't bet on them doing it, but they might. You never know.
That's why I think they and the Guardians are like the two pretty good examples. I mean, you could put the Rays too, yeah. The Rays maybe even more so.
The Rays are the best example.
The Rays just develop so well. Like, they are so far out of the Pirates league when it comes to player development. They're not even playing the same sport. But like organizations like that, that's how you have to model your system after to try and make things work. And they just don't do it. And they don't know how to do it.
Sorry, I got very distracted. I feel like the Sportsnet Pittsburgh account here is trolling O'Neill Cruz. Believe it or not. So it's them quote tweeting themselves. It says, "We are family. Tommy gets the buckos on the board." And then it says, "Set up by some hustle from O'Neill," and it has three tornado emojis. I'm sorry that I'm taking a left turn here. It's Cruz jogging down the line like he thinks this like sinking liner he hit is going to be caught, stopping briefly, then turning and running at no more than, I would say, 85% speed. The ball gets away. I don't think he's getting to third base, even if he's trucking it all the way there. Set up by some hustle from O'Neill?
Well, I thought it was more, did they not have the highlight of Cruz actually scoring the run?
No, it's like they set up by some hustle from O'Neill is about the ball that dropped in, surprisingly. I'm going with the, is this serious? I think somebody in Sportsnet is trolling. What other explanation is there? He does run hard on the base hit. He definitely runs hard there. He is at no point even close to top speed. If somebody told them, like, hey, we're the broadcast, you know, home of the Pirates, the TV home of the Pirates, he's been under siege, we got to send out something positive here, maybe help out, you know, nudge, I wouldn't send that. Anyway, yeah, I just, this game kind of served to me as an example, like a microcosm of how frustrating it's been for the Pirates fans to watch this team. You have the best pitcher in baseball, which I still think Skeens is. I'm not going to let one outing like this deter me from that opinion. And just it laid bare, Donnie, how little is around him. The kind of hill he's trying to climb by himself because they have nothing to really surround him with. Forget about not having like a Christian Yelich. There's not even a Bryce Terang. There's not even a Sal Frelick here. We kill for one Sal Frelick in this town.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Tell you about this interesting Pirates trade rumor in about 30 minutes' time here on The Fan. Meanwhile, we're talking football right now with Aditi Kinkabwala. Aditi is brought to you by Bet365. Hello, Aditi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. First question is not a football question. Yes.
Okay, but can I ask a question first? Do you miss Pony, or is it sort of nice to not be spoken over?
Wow. That's a shot fired.
I didn't even mean that as a shot. I didn't mean it as a shot.
Mean it as a shot, because I'll just make sure that I tell him about it. No.
Oh, and you'll frame it with some nasty narrative? Got it.
No, I'm not going to do that, nor if you say something inflammatory or very, very controversial in the next 10 minutes, nor will I tweet it out, Aditi. I'm in vacation mode. This is summertime, Malzy, here.
Just Donnie will tweet it out.
I usually, when he does talk over me, I usually combat that by occasionally going, hold on, be quiet, and that's usually hostile enough, even though I say it in a completely even voice, that it gets the point across, but I only have to do that like once every couple of months, so.
I see.
Anyway. Well, he's on vacation.
I hope he made it. I know. I hope he made it to Myrtle okay.
He did. I thought he was in Hilton Head. No, he is in Myrtle. You're
oh,
right.
That could be right.
No, you're right. He's in Myrtle. That's where every Pittsburgher goes. I went to Florida on the Gulf Coast. What is stateside? Because I have not taken any international trips other than the Bahamas. What is stateside Aditi Kinkabwala's favorite vacation destination?
Oh, gosh, that's so tough. You're really putting me on the spot, aren't
you? This is a vacation question. Come on.
I know, but I love it. It's really interesting that you say this, because I love seeing the world. I love exploring things. I love going places where you do more than just sit on the beach. But if we're talking about just sitting on the beach, Kiawah Island is hard to compete with.
No, that's a choice. Wait, how much of a golfer are you right now? I felt like you were a fledgling golfer when we were last talking. Because Kiawah is one of the great courses in the United States, the ocean course.
Yeah, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to even sniff at any of that. I am still fledgling. I am still desiring to be a golfer, but not doing much towards putting the work towards it. So The problem is, Malzi, if I have 2 free hours, I'd much rather hit tennis balls than go out on a golf course. Or
what is your stance on pickleball,
range.
Then, as a tennis player? Is it a scourge invading clubs everywhere?
I don't know enough about it, actually. That's funny. I was just actually talking to a current NFL quarterback this morning about playing pickleball. I like running, and I like sweating, and I like working hard. And isn't pickleball sort of like a softer version of tennis?
It's crummy,
like
tennis.
You don't run and sweat?
It's fake tennis. That's what I call it.
Well, maybe. Well, I mean, considering that a few years ago a 60-something-year-old woman beat Minka Fitzpatrick at it, then maybe. Or played with Minka Fitzpatrick to beat TJ Watt at it, then maybe what you're saying is really true.
Yeah, I think it. I like to think that what I'm saying has some validity here. Aditi, would you like to hear, or is it fresh in your mind, what Aaron Rodgers, a couple of choice quotes he had to say on Pat McAfee?
You can go ahead and play them for me if there are particular ones you want to team me up on.
There are two, so let's start with this one. This is Aaron Rodgers channeling Kenny Loggins, I believe. He had the hit song, This Is It. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
Just overall thoughts on that, because I don't want to lead the witness here. I actually came away more optimistic, even hearing a 30-second clip like that, more optimistic about how this season could go with Aaron Rodgers than I was before I heard that quote, Aditi.
I feel that. I don't think it's surprising. I think that going in from the very beginning, we all should have recognized that this is probably only 1 year. Just the fact that he was contemplating retirement as much as he was tells you that, basically. But I think that you should feel good, because it's very clear that he's thinking about his final days in the league, the way that the end sometimes shapes and frames and affects your legacy. And he definitely wants to leave on a different note than how he left New Jersey. And so he's all in to win and to leave in a great way. And I think the way that he's talking about Will Howard just tells you that. I mean, as much as Aaron Rodgers, and I know he said it again yesterday on McAfee about wanting to disappear once this is over. I've been telling you guys this for months. He said it to us in a production meeting last year that when his career is over, he is going to Kaiser Sose, meaning he is going to disappear. He has been consistent in saying that. According to him, we're not going to see him on any pregame shows. We're not going to see him popping up on any cable shows. So the idea that he's really taken to mentoring Will Howard, and the way that he's talking about Will Howard's response to that. And I've alluded to this a lot with you guys, that we had very intense conversation about Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams and how he was or was not, or to what extent he was able to pick up things from him. Clearly, Rodgers is thinking about legacy, the end, the way that he is viewed, the way his career is viewed to some degree. And that can only bode well for a Steelers fan.
Well, my thought on it, and the reason why I chose optimism, which had the listeners very surprised and thinking that I had been replaced by a body double on vacation because I was being somewhat optimistic about it, is I did think one of the problems with Russell Wilson last year was that it was very obvious that in Russ's own mind, he was playing for another big mega contract. He was going to have a huge year. He was going to show people he could still do it. And he was going to get signed, you know, 3 years, $100 million somewhere. When I hear Rodgers just say, yeah, that I signed a one-year deal because this is it, I do feel like when you have a finish line visible ahead of you like that, it's much easier to just go out with more pure motivations. There is no ulterior motive. It's I want to play as good as I can play, and I want to do whatever I've got to do to achieve that end. And I just don't feel like there's as much room for there to be a clash between, head coach and offensive coordinator and quarterback like there clearly was with Wilson last year?
Well, sure, because now it's only about winning. But it's not even about motivation. It's just you're freed up a little bit. There's not the stress. There's not the anxiety of, I am playing for a contract. I am playing for another opportunity. He's not playing for anything other than to win right now. He's not playing for anything other than to put the shine back on, this is a guy that's a winner. Mm-hmm. And fair or not, and I don't think it's fair, because I'll be honest, there are a lot of things that accompany Aaron Rodgers in the public space. Things that he talks about when he goes on Joe Rogan's podcast. Things that he talks about when he goes on McAfee. But I've never, ever heard that he's a bad locker room presence. If anything, I've heard the opposite. And I'll come back to this. As much as he says that he will disappear, you are only human if you care about the way that you are perceived or the way you are framed. And I think in some ways he doesn't care, but in other ways he does. And the fact that he is so openly talking about being a good leader, what it was like to watch minicamp and take in the way people interact, the way he's saying he's going to earn respect every day, the way that he's talking about mentoring Will Howard, the way he's talking about the knowledge he wants to pass on. Clearly, this is a guy that is thinking significantly about his legacy and the way his exit will ultimately be framed. For sure, you're right. But then also, I should say one other thing. Aaron Rodgers has never lacked for confidence in the player that he is. So when you compare him to Russell Wilson, there's a little bit of a... Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to prove anything to anyone. He knows who he is.
Well, he's an upper room
Hall of... He likes to show...
He's an upper room Hall of Fame guy. I think Russ probably has a pretty good chance to get in, but Aaron Rodgers is in what they call the upper room. Like Deion Sanders, I think, said it's the upper room of the Hall of Fame, and that's where a four MVP guy is. And I'd also say that I would actually agree with you that he comes off much more authentic when he's specifically talking football and his teammates than Russ ever did. Russ, frankly, came off like a guy running for president or something like that, reading campaign points on the trail.
So funny you say that, because I remember Sean Payton saying that to us in a production meeting a couple of years ago, where he actually said to Russ, he's like, what are you running for office? Are you going to be kissing babies next? And so, yes, you're right. It's a different personality. But I mean, at this point, you know, like last week, it was just last week, right, that it got a little bit contentious with Pony over this, but now he's your guy.
You and Pony got contentious? The two of you?
Can you believe it?
In this economy?
Does he never get contentious with anybody else? Is it only me?
No, I mean, I think the entire, what is it now, Donnie? How many years have he and I done the show together? 7 years almost, has been built on friendly contentiousness.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Again, this is whether you were in favor of it or not, now it's done. Whether you thought it was a good idea or not, now it's done. So you look for reasons to embrace this as a good move. And quite frankly, this should be the best quarterback, offensive coordinator, offensive coaching staff combination that the Steelers have had in a long, long time. So be excited about that.
Aditi, I have to go. I was going to ask you one more question, but perhaps it can wait till next week.
Ask it fast. Ask it fast.
Ask it fast. Oh, I thought you said ask if asked. Okay, I'll ask it fast. I'm not going to play the clip. He just sang the praises of Mike Tomlin, which a million players do, and it doesn't always work out when that player actually gets here once they get coached by Mike Tomlin. The Mike Tomlin courting process is different than Mike Tomlin day-to-day as your coach. Do you think Mike will be more deferential to Rodgers than he was even to Wilson, where it became very obvious that when Russ started turning the ball over, Mike and probably Arthur Smith got pretty frustrated and wanted their hands at 10-2 on the wheel?
I don't think you're going to have that problem with Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think it's about being deferential. If anything, I think they should be able to have more frank conversation, and Aaron Rodgers can take what you say, and Aaron Rodgers can give it back.
I think that's actually a pretty good descriptor, and I happen to agree with it, Aditi. We'll be more contentious next week when Pony's back, I promise.
We don't have to be. All right. Have fun. Talk to you soon.
Here she is, Aditi Kinkabwala, of CBS Sports, of course, on the sidelines. She and I are pretty close to in lockstep with how we feel about this. Who's that scarier for? Probably Aditi. By the way, Donnie, we have an answer. I think Sportsnet Pittsburgh, I think I caught them, the Twitter feed, with their hand in the cookie jar. I think I caught them trolling. They deleted the O'Neill Cruz tweet. Huh. I knew it was BS, dude. I knew it was garbage. The tornado emojis, he's jogging in the video. Somebody was trying to pull a fast one.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's that time again. It's the Donnie Debrief, and it's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. You know the drill, so take it away, Don.
The Debrief, June 25, 2025. This got put out there from Mike DeFabo, who covers the Steelers for The Athletic, earlier. Apparently, the early workings of a film on the Immaculate Reception. Award-winning filmmaker Bill McAdams, who did a movie on Jose Canseco, I guess.
Yes.
Secured the exclusive rights to the captivating story of the Immaculate Reception. So they could be, and McAdams apparently a lifelong Steeler fan, creating a movie about the game's most iconic play.
I think he called in when me and Joe worked together and said, or it was either him or his son or somebody who said, like, yeah, my dad, or he said, it's me, I have the ball. Why do I think it was a guy named Frank, though? No, it's Jim. Jim, what did you say it was? McAdams? Jim what?
Bill McAdams.
Bill McAdams. I could have swore the dude, that's the guy who has the ball.
Bill McAdams is the guy that's going to make the movie.
No, who's the guy who has the ball? I thought that was in, like, the release that I thought DeFabo sent out there. I saw DeFabo's tweet, and I could have swore it told the story of the guy.
Oh, Jim Baker.
Jim Baker. I think Jim Baker called me and Starkey. I do. I think he called us up and told us, or somebody related to him did. Either way,
though. Insurance salesman from West Mifflin. He has the ball.
That sounds about right. Either way, maybe if they make this film, they'll find a way to dig back through the fan archives and get some of the audio if he did call our show and talk to me and Joe about it. Or maybe if they fail, they'll ask Harry Callis if he could find the audio for them, and he'll just recreate it. Hello, Mr. Baker. Yes, thank you. This is Chris Muller and Joe Starkey. Make a business decision for himself. Oh, yeah, people, you thought I'd let that one go on my week back? Hell no. I do think that's one of those stories I would like to see told. I actually do. Like, I think that could be very entertaining if done correctly. And interesting, like, that's like Yinzer catnip, I would say. Most famous play in the history of the sport. Probably one of the, 5 to 10 most famous plays in sports, period. I mean, what else is up there? Kirk Gibson's home run in 88 is up there. Even though this particular play is not that great of a goal, Bobby Orr flying through the air to clinch the Stanley Cup in, 1970 or whatever that was. Maybe Michael Jordan against the Jazz for the sixth title. I'm trying to think of Bobby Thompson, the
That's
shot
heard around,
around
the world. What about the Maz homer?
How about Hank Aaron? Probably Hank Aaron setting the all-time home run record. Maz's homer's up there for sure. I mean, but there's not many football plays that are... I think it's the most famous football play by a pretty clear margin. And it's certainly got one of the best nicknames. I'd be into it, man. Like, what's something you would want to see covered by this film? I think the initial story for me of how it came into his possession, I would just be incredibly interested to know. Like, I'm talking the chaotic scene of Franco crosses the goal line. I think he just I forget in the NFL film slow-mo highlight, does he just drop the ball?
And fans start to flood the field.
Right, they have to like clear the field. I would love to know like what the instant aftermath was that got the ball into his hands. That part of it is like I think a thing that I would love to see a film cover accurately. That part of the story.
I started to wonder who like what the cast would look like. Who would try to be portrayed.
Well, Nick Cage is John Madden in that.
And he surprisingly looks pretty believable.
Cage just throws himself completely into the role there. I mean, Con Air was on last night, and I was like, oh, this is another one. Just
that was like Aaron Rodgers 2019.
Settle
Con
in
Air.
For this bad boy. Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right.
You know who I think could oddly
don't they have to have Billy Gardell do like one of the roles? Just, you know, just have him be somebody from Pittsburgh. Is Keaton going to find his way in?
I hope so. Somebody, I Joe Manganiello. Just get them all in here.
Who would play Franco? Because presumably they're going to do like a they'll do like a football scene, right? Like they're going to have to, if it's going to be a feature type film, you have to show the play and recreate it. Who the hell plays Bradshaw with that, with like the kind of weird mulleted look?
I was thinking about Bradshaw, Franco, Chuck Tatum, Knoll.
Chuck Knoll, Madden. Who else?
Somebody who I think would have actually played a pretty good Chuck Knoll. Can't do it, but the late great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, that's a great pick. He also probably could have played Bradshaw in the right setting. Get his blonde hair all stringy and terrible looking. He could have done either. That's the mark of a great actor. Who the hell would play Franco? You got to get somebody that obviously like passes the look test, so dark, very dark beard. Man, I'm not up on like who's a
curly
big...
curly sort of fro.
Yeah, but like I think it's more just like the hair has to be the right color. It has to be very dark hair.
They'll probably just get guys that like we haven't heard of.
The Rock as Franco Harris. Something like that.
No, The Rock plays The Rock in every movie he's in.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to see Dave Bautista try to find his way into this movie. Serious actor Dave Bautista.
Best wrestler turned actor.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, who's he going against? Kane? Steve Austin? I mean, I love Stone Cold, but come on, the guy did not exactly...
You got The Rock, you got Cena.
Like you said about The Rock, though, he plays himself. I think that was my line that you took, actually. I want to see... You guys know one of the running jokes in this show is that you guys watch all these sports movies and everything, and I don't. I will watch that one. That one will have my interest. As long as I hear that it doesn't suck. Like, if you hear it get made, it's like, oh, yeah, this movie's just, this thing belongs direct to TV or direct to video.
I still haven't watched the one about Kurt Warner.
Oh!
American Underdog.
What was that? Who was the guy who played Kurt Warner? Because I remember laughing my ass off. Not that Kurt Warner was some Adonis in that one. In real life, like he was a normal built guy with just a great arm. The guy they had, though, play Kurt Warner, when they would show the football shots of him in full Rams gear and pads, it looked like comical. He had zero definition whatsoever to his arms. Just it looked absurd.
Zachary Levy.
I knew it was a Zach something. Zachary Levy, yeah. Not great. Not great. I want Dave Bautista to be in this movie now. I think that's my only wish. I want Dave Bautista to be in the movie about the Immaculate Reception. If I get that, happy guy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.